Taking out a loan to get what you want sounds like a great idea until you get the bill. And when you get that bill and you look at it, you're probably going to be shocked because it's going to be more than you envisioned. Loans aren't free and they're not cheap. So the core message of a guy like Dave Ramsey is a good one. Cash is king and avoid debt. I remember vividly one time falling into a conversation with a multimillionaire. And as we were talking, his point was pretty clear. Stay away from debt at all costs. Now, for some of you, perhaps this point especially hits home because you know what it's like to get that bill and realize, oops, you spent a little more than you should have, and now you have to work your tail off just to climb out of the hole. You're not even getting ahead. You feel the weight of regret, guilt from mismanagement, grief, even strife with your spouse as the blame game begins. To all that, let me say this parable that we heard from the Lord Jesus has a lot to say to you. Not because it's about management and debt. That's not the point. It's a word of forgiveness. It's a word of forgiveness from God to you. And also, you don't have to experience being in debt to understand this word of God and believe it. The servant brought to the master had gone into debt so bad he would never be able to pay it back. He owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. To put that in perspective, one commentator I read suggests that the average day worker would have to work 60 million days. This is the average day worker. 60 million days to pay off a debt like that. Point's pretty clear. This is way, way, way too much for the guy to work off. And so that means jail time, and not just for him, but his family. And he loses all that he has. Sin is called debt in Scripture. We owe something for our debts, and one day we'll have to stand before God and give an account of ourselves. The servant who owed 10,000 talents, you kind of want to ask him the question, man, just what did you spend your money on? Did it not occur to you that one day you're going to have to stand before your master and he's going to want to settle up? But sin pollutes our minds, and it blocks us from thinking this way. We get smug, we get complacent, we get lazy. And the thought of judgment, the thought of standing before the king and giving an account of ourselves, that's far from our minds. The thought of Jesus returning is far from our minds. When this servant is summoned, he's got a real problem. Too much debt, and he can't pay it off. And also, remember, his actions are going to drag down his entire family. This might be applied to the father who is called to be the head of the household. He is supposed to actively and fervently love and serve his wife and his children, not just by providing for them, but teaching them what it means to be a baptized child of the Most High God who has paid for all of your sins and calls us into vocations in which we serve our neighbor. The father has a vital job and will have a detrimental effect on his wife and kids if he abandons his post. The kids aren't taught what they should be. The wife isn't loved and cherished as she should be. The entire family will suffer. The servant in Jesus' parable, owing 10,000 talents, man, he has made a mess of things affecting his entire family. And now all he can do is plead. But at his pleas, what happens? The master is moved to compassion and releases the servant from his debt, just like that. A plea is met with forgiveness. No strings attached. The entire 10,000 talent wiped away by compassionate generosity on the part of the master. In the collect of the day, we prayed this morning. We said, hear the devout prayers of your church. God, be patient with me, And I will pay everything back as a plea for mercy from this servant. And we are to speak the same because we too need the compassionate mercy of a master who doesn't bid us to go work off our debts to settle our account, but who speaks the debt away. The master speaks and the debt is gone. Christ speaks and your debt is gone. That's what you get when you plead for mercy as a Christian. You get absolution, forgiveness, a clean slate. Every time you are loosed from your debts because of God in Christ who justifies. He declares you innocent of wrongdoing precisely because of his cross and blood. He has paid the debt and he forgives his people. And his forgiveness is always there. Always there for the taking, but not abusing. And that's what the first servant unfortunately ends up doing, right? He receives a free pardon, clean slate, debt wiped away. Go in peace. You are forgiven. What a gift. What does he do with it? He takes that gift. He takes that forgiveness, 10,000 talents, all of it wiped away. He takes it, and what does he do? He finds a fellow worker, and he chokes him for pennies. You see, compared to 10,000 talents, 100 denarii, that's nothing. Roughly 4 months' labor for the day worker. The first servant's biggest problem then wasn't really the 10,000 talents he had racked up in debt. Yes, that's a problem. But the bigger problem was abusing the forgiveness that had been given him by refusing to forgive. What you do with your forgiveness is forgive your neighbor, and they will sin against you. They will, as you know. Peter's question precipitating this discourse of Jesus seems to indicate there's a limit to it all. A limit to saying, I forgive you, 7 times and then you're done. Our sinful inclination is to highlight the sin of our neighbor while diminishing our own. And Jesus warns about this whenever he teaches, and you've heard this, when he says, take the log out of your own eye. We've all heard Jesus say this, take the log out of your own eye, and then you can take the speck out of your neighbor's. And don't be so quick to assume you have no log of your own. You have to see clearly, with eyes of faith, not just your neighbor, but even yourself. See yourself as the one with 10,000 talents, freely forgiven in Christ. And do not choke your neighbor for what he owes you. Forgive them from the heart. Sounds easy, but we really want to choke them, don't we? And watch them turn blue for what they have done to us, and for all that we need to repent. I want to address this point, which is forgiveness from the heart is often combined with feelings of anger, right? Rage, sadness, when the pain, the wound is so great and deep, the healing takes a long time. I don't have to go into detail on this. You get it. Because all of you have been hurt by a neighbor. The inspired, spirit-driven decision to forgive your neighbor out of faith will encounter those memories stifling your love towards your neighbor. But in those times as you struggle to forgive and repent over sins of vengeance, recall what you have already been given before you choke your neighbor. They are as sinful as you are, but your sins are pardoned in Christ. His forgiveness isn't freedom for grudges and vengeance. It's freedom to forgive. And as you struggle to forgive, even when you want to, your love towards your neighbor always finds perfection in Jesus, in whom you have been baptized and clothed with his righteousness and mercy and love. The servant who squandered his forgiveness, he is turned in, and he is brought before the master. And his lot, his reward, is eternal punishment. Such a serious punishment should rouse us from our slumber to look differently at our spouses who do fail in their vocations, as we fail every day in our vocations, whatever they may be, father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, worker, and so on. But this is a call to repentance. Lord, forgive me for how I've treated my neighbor. Help me to do better. Such devout prayers of his people, God hears, and this is why he is a refuge for those who are unrighteous. We prayed this in the introit. Enter not into judgment with your servant, we prayed, For no one living is righteous before you, but he is righteous and answers us not according to our righteousness, but according to his great mercy. God is compassionate toward you, and at your pleas, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. God is always quick to forgive, quick to pardon, to speak the debt away. And your neighbor needs this too. Chances are they're hurting too. Loosen their sins by speaking the forgiveness of Christ to them. Forgive each other. And remember and receive daily God's forgiveness, his pardon, for the sake of his Son, Jesus. Our debts are many, more than 10,000 talents worth, but your Savior has paid for them all. Remember this as you live with those around you, and pray that God keeps you fixated on him and his word that pronounces you debt-free, released from the bondage, and an heir to his heavenly treasures that are freely yours in Christ. You do not have to pay them back. Amen.